Dad sort of spilled the beans in my mind, I guess, in a way. So I want to go ahead and share it just so you know kind of what's in my heart and what I've been talking to the Lord about. But Christy and I spent, a few hours a lot more than a few hours one evening just praying and talking about, you know, what God is saying to us, what he's doing. And Christy made the statement. She said, well, we need to think about it. I feel that we need to think about it in the sense of what has God done in the past that has really resonated with our community and really made that effect that we feel that he's wanted it to make. And you know, maybe the clue to where we should start is found in there. So how many of you would say that's good wisdom? I would say that. So I was like, hey, you want to lead something? You know, I'm just kidding. And so we started talking about that and praying about that. And immediately the thing that came up in both of our minds was, man, we at one point in time, you guys know Donnie Sims, he would have a thing that we would feed the community once per week. And they would come, and often, John knows this, I know this, if you were there, sometimes the people that came, mostly kids, but you know, sometimes families too, that might have been the only time that they had a meal that day or week. They had a safe place, right? And rather than focus on how many ways can we invite them to our church, how about we say, how can we bless them? And then in the process of blessing them, if God brings up something to talk about and it points them back to Scripture, it points them back to the Word, then how about we leave that part to him and we just be faithful with the little stuff? Can we do that? So one of the things that Christy and I have in our hearts and minds to do, and this will be the next phase, if you will, because we're trying to take things slowly and obviously practice lots of wisdom, make sure we have our help. But it's going to be those weekly community meals. We have a few people that already want to help run stoves and cook stuff. So that could be you. You may just want to be the person that says, you know what, without fail, I will make sure that you are cleaned up for Sunday. I'm your cleaning crew. I'll organize it. I'll make sure it's all done. If you want to do that, we need it. If you want to be the one that, hey, you know what? I want to make sure I'm strategically set at a different table every time so that whoever sits in my presence, I'm giving them the love of Jesus, whatever that looks like. And you're that ambassador. You're the table champion, you know, just loving on them, talking about whatever they want to talk about. Not getting offended if maybe they use explicatives, you know, to describe their life and their stories, right? But you're there to love on them. So I hope that gets some wheels turning in you, giving us time to get through the work. And obviously, we won't wait till it's all done, but we have a few other things we want to do before we want to do something as large as that. But I'm feeling that the Lord wants us to probably kick that off on a regular basis starting in January. So it gives us some time to pray into it. It gives us some time to finish up our work projects. It gives us time to get donors for whether it's food or money for the food, but a regular running basis so that when January 1 kicks off, we've got meals in the church every week. Are you with me? Hopefully this excites you. It excites us. So this morning I want to get into the Word, and I feel like the Lord has kind of already started preaching it for me this morning, so we'll do some little sideways maneuvers here because he has been confirming it a lot, and it's so cool when he does that. But I want to do our declaration together, and then we're going to pray and jump right in. So if you would stand with me. And say it with me. My eyes are on Jesus. My heart is tuned to his spirit. My ears are listening to his voice. My mind will believe what he says. And my voice will declare the truth of his word. Amen. You may be seated. And Lord Jesus, I thank you. I thank you that you are here. Lord, I turn over full control of everything that's going on today. I continually just say, Lord, just have your way. Say what you want to say. Adjust any notes or whatever you want to do, Lord. I just want to be your voice. Help me to speak truth and life and blessing in the hearts and minds of the people today. In Jesus' name, amen. As I was kind of processing our message today. I've got my phone here because I was, I'm not really sure where this fit, so maybe I'll just go ahead and share it now. Maybe that's what he wants me to do. But two things that stuck out to me this morning. Sam usually comes in, and I love that he does this. So if this is a ministry thing you want to do too, please do it, because we need it for worship, we need it for the service, we need it for the week, all that. But he'll come in and he'll make his rounds, and he's just praying and talking to the Lord and just kind of doing his thing with the Lord. And he walks up to me and he says, "A little or a lot?" And in describing that, he said, "You know, I feel like this is my words, augmenting what he was saying, a little or a lot." Immediately, what came to my mind is, "What kind of seeds in your hand? You have the little bit seed, or you got the lot seed? And then how much are you sprinkling that seed? Is it a little bit or a lot? Are you, you know, putting it out there vigorously, or are you kind of being a little bit easy with it?" And it just spoke to me in the sense that I felt like the Lord was saying, you're going to produce what you sow. Is that very confirming word. Is if you give it everything you have, and you guys are all banded together, and you're doing all that I have for you, well, guess what? The harvest will be plentiful. But if you're like, you know what? It's scary. What will people think about it? You know, it's like you're gonna sow that too. And it'll be something, but it won't be all that he has for you. Amen? And so I was thinking about that, and I read this devotional the other night as I was praying and thinking through the word, and I wanted to just drop this nugget in your mind. Like I said, it contributes to the word, but it's one of those, you know, just offshoot ways of thinking. I hope you know that I'm that way. But the one of the Lord's names that I was reading in this devotional is Esh Okla. It means consuming fire. And I'm just going to read this first couple sentences. It says, "Have you ever witnessed the destruction wrought by a forest fire? It consumes everything in its path, jumping quickly over roads and bridges and even rivers. Now imagine a consuming fire that is larger than the universe. And you'll begin to get a small glimpse of the power of God." And as I was thinking about that, today our message is titled An Alternate Path. And we're going to be talking about a few scenarios where these men of God, women of God, were led by Holy Spirit, and they didn't quite go down the path that they thought they would go down. And it's not saying that maybe their previous path was bad. Doesn't mean that. But it was a different one. But they were led by the Spirit. They obeyed the Spirit. And often when we think about the movements of old, when we think about the Acts days, which I don't know if you know this or not, but we're still in them, we see those things spreading like wildfire, right? And I thought in my spirit, like, I want that. Whatever that path looks like, that's the scary path. Because if you think about this, this writer just talking about forest fires, man, we've seen destruction, right? When we talk about it in the natural, those aren't good things. And usually you're like, I want to go as far away from that as humanly possible. But you see, when we get mixed up in the world and the desires and cares of our lives, remember he said, watch out. Those things creep up and they distract you and they get you off of my path, right? That's not the right alternate path we're talking about this morning. We're talking about the one that's Holy Spirit led by him. And what you need to hear today, if you hear nothing else about this alternate path, is it doesn't always look safe. That fire looks hot. That looks like it's going to leave a mark. That looks like that nail that goes to the toe is probably going to leave a hole in the shoe. But it's the best path we could possibly be on. You don't want any other path than that. Are you with me today? Galatians 5, 16 through 17 says, and this is our key verse for our series. So it says, "So I say, walk by the Spirit, and you will not gratify the desires of the flesh. For the flesh desires what is contrary to the Spirit, and the Spirit what is contrary to the flesh. And I love this. This is kind of like matter of fact. They are in conflict with each other so that you are not to do whatever you want. Who feels that on the daily? Is it just me? Because I feel like I'm consistently measuring my actions and like, I wanted to do this instead and ended up doing this and now I'm cleaning this up. You know, I said what I shouldn't have said and I'm so sorry. Like I'm apologizing. Like I'm so sorry. You know, and you know, it's not just a guy thing. You know, listen to me. We say things and we do things. And as Amber so graciously shared with us from the Father's heart this morning is measure your words. Process those a little bit. Let them go through that internal filter and say, Lord, should I say this? Should I say it this way? And should I say it to them right now? Because it may not be time yet. It may not be the right person. It may need a little bit of finesse in those words, right? And that really, for me, when I read this and as I was processing those things, that really grasped the truth behind speaking the truth in love. I heard it said this way. They said, do you speak the truth in love or you just love speaking the truth? Because sometimes you just like telling them what, oh, there's the facts. I'm right. I'm always right. And yeah, that's the truth. But you just destroyed somebody. Did you enjoy that? So, Lord, is this what you want me to say? Is this what you want me to say right now, in this moment, and to this person that I'm about to share it with? Or do we need to wait a little bit? Most of the time for me, it's wait a little bit. You're getting a little bit ahead of me. Slow down a little bit. Amen? And then the other part of this, and I jumped down a little bit in the scriptures here, but this one's locked in my brain. It says, since we live by the Spirit, in verse 25, since we live by the Spirit, so let us keep in step with the Spirit. And when I was in high school, I was in a program called ROTC, Reserve Officer Training Corps. And I felt led to share this story because a few weeks ago, people were asking about, you know, our call and did we always know that we were going to be pastors and all this other stuff. And, you know, the answer to all those in short is no. I would have picked about just about anything else, right? You know, it's usually how it goes. And then God says, no, actually, we're going to go this way. And you're, okay, Lord, you know, you want to be obedient. But I remember being in this program and it was a great program. Love it. Some of the coolest years of my life, lots of experiences. And I went to MEPS, which is where you go to get a whole bunch of shots from, I hope this isn't offensive, but it's just me, so hopefully you love me. But these ladies that were giving you the shots, that the needles were like the thickest thing on the planet Earth, had bigger guns than most of us. And we were all going into the military, and they were just like, boom! And you're like, that lady punched me, you know? Like, what just happened? And so I got like the biggest shots known to man in all of my arms, so I had more holes than I knew what to do with there, and then they swear you in, and I'm going through all this process, and obviously life is about to change dramatically, and I get a call. We stayed the night there. It was probably a couple days later, and my sergeant, he was senior master sergeant, and I was going into the Marines, but I was in the ROTC for Air Force, so it is what it is. I'm trying not to get that too muddy. But the point is, this man I respected very much. He was a worship pastor at the church that I was attending. We were going down to Pecan Valley, kind of Shawnee-ish area, if you will, and had been there for a little bit. And up to that point, I think probably the month or two prior, we had made what would be my last trip to California to see my grandpa. And at this point, he had already gone through cancer and had his voice box removed. And I remember one of the evenings that he and I were sitting there and we were talking. We talk about everything. And you say, hold on a second, that doesn't make sense. Well, some of it he would write, some of it I would be reading his lips, but it was probably one of the single greatest times I've ever had with him because of just how much care that I knew that he had for me. You know, he was just so like, well, what do you want to do? And what do you want to be? And where do you want to go? And, you know, all those questions. And, you know, I'd already been prayed over in church earlier that week because we had a few church services with him, and they were great. I mean, you know, it's always nice to see that, you know, you think that you go to this church and they've all got it all together, and you get to see, you know, hey, you know, we're dealing with stuff too. We're human, right? We mess up. We go through all this. And so he's telling, you know, we're seeing and telling, you know, the good, the bad, the ugly, all that. But I just still know how big his heart was to love people, to feed people, to just go above and beyond. And so much of my prayers since he passed was, you know, God, make me a man like him who loves you and hears you like him, who serves you like him, you know. And so we're talking, and he said, you know, God has more for you, right? And yeah, Grandpa, you know, just affirming. But he's like, no. And all I mean, I can still hear the wind sound of his lips as he said it. He's like, no, the Lord has more. It's bigger than that. And he wasn't saying that what I was about to step into was bad. I mean, the military does a lot of great things. I think we can all agree with that. But he said, I have more. And so fast forward those months and all these things that I'm going through, about to step in. I mean, I've got friends of mine that we're going in together, and we're kind of planning it all out, getting all our bags packed and just ready to do some weeks of basic training. Like, if you know anything about it, I think the Marines is still, to my knowledge, the longest one. I don't know why I picked that one, but it was going to be some time away and lots of work. And I want to say it was like the week or two before I was going to be deployed, and I remember having all of that scheduled. My sergeant calls me, and he says, I got you out of it. And I said, what now? You're not going. And honestly, y'all, listen, I've never been more annoyed and angry about something in my life, but I was pretty upset. I was like, what are you talking about? And he says, I got a call from someone, and I found out later who it was, and I'll spare them from this because it's not to call any attention negatively. But he said, I got a call from someone who loves you very much, and they think God has something different for you. So you're not going. And so I'm sitting here thinking to myself, like, what am I going to do? Like, I had all these plans and thoughts, and I said, man, I'm upset. I don't know what I'm going to do. You know, wasn't really planning all this out. And he says, well, I have something for you to do. Do tell. I want you to come hang out with me. And so I went out to his house. It was, you know, the next day or so. And he sends me to his closet. He said, you see that hallway down there? I said, yeah. Go down to the closet. Open the door. Open the door. There's a guitar in there. He said, pick it up. And so from that moment, as I was telling people at our small group, he taught me my first few chords to play guitar. And I'm like, this is really cool. I've never done that before. Always wanted to, you know, kind of thing. And he said, well, I'm not just teaching you for anything. This Sunday, I want you to play worship with me. And I'm like, what? Do what now? I know a couple of chords, right? You know, it's not pretty at all by any stretch of the imagination. And he says, I want you to play worship with me. Now, I don't know if they had me turned up in the system. They may have not. It may have spared everyone's ears. Totally believable. But the point was, he had me do that. To make matters worse, and I was telling the group this at our house, to make matters worse, he invites my friends from ROTC, and they all come too. And I'm like, you've got to be kidding me. I did not want everyone to hear me play the three chords that I know, not good, and they're all there, and you know, yeah, you know. And so I say all that to say, man, my plans were so changed. My plans were so different than what I had thought, and I need you to hear, like, that could have been a great path, right? But, I mean, if I would have taken that path, how much longer would it have taken for me to get to where we're at now and on the road that I'm on now? And you need to hear this for your own life too. Where you're at isn't always where you're going to be either. This is just the step to the next thing as he's orchestrating those pathways, right? So what path are you on? Are you being led by the Spirit? And as I said with that scripture, Galatians 5:25, are you in step with him? And what that says to me is when we're marching our drills, like we were in competitions to where like the drill instructors and the guys would look down, you know, the line of us, and we were all so perfectly in sync that when a hand went out like this or a foot went out like this, it was all perfectly in line. Like, you couldn't tell the difference. You couldn't tell, all right, man, I can't see the guy that's the fifth on the end different from the one that's over here closest to me. They're all exactly in step. They're all exactly in order. And all the sounds and clicks and pops were all perfectly in sync. And what that says to me is, okay, Holy Spirit's leading, and he's the one saying left, left, right, left. Now, for you, it's whatever you do that has a step-by-step process, it's following him every step-by-step in that process, doing exactly what he does, right? Another recent thing that I was thinking about as I was processing this is Dad took me fly fishing a little while back, and he's like, now you have to do this little thing, and I'm not even doing it right because I would have totally messed it up, but he's like, you do this little thing, and I had to do it a bunch of times practicing out in the field before I finally got the little flick right, and it did what I wanted it to do. And then I still get in the water, and I watch him do it again, and he just boop, 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 and it makes it look so easy. And I try it again, and I'm like, nope, that's a rocker. No, that's the other fisherman. Sorry, you know. And you know, I'm not getting it right, even though I'm sitting there looking at it. So I want you to hear today that, you know, I'm saying keep in step with the Spirit. And you're like, oh, Chris, that sounds so easy. It's not always that easy. You're sitting there watching him do it, and you still mess it up. But the goodness is, just like my dad, he was like, let me show you again. Let's do it again. Let's try it again. It's okay. Let me fix it. And he had to be getting upset. Like, man, I'm trying to get out here trying to catch something, you know? And you're catching trees and people, right? But let's do it again. Let's go through the motions again. And our Savior is that way. He doesn't give up on us. In fact, he's like, now listen, this hurts a little bit, but I actually want you to catch people. So there we're doing good. You just maybe a little bit different than that, you know. Don't want to hurt him in the process. But he says, let's go through it again. Let's try it this way. Let's change it up a little bit. And for some people, you hear that word, that C word, and it's the bad word for you. Change. I don't want to change nothing. I've been doing this way my whole life, and it's always worked out. I don't know. I think there might be a different path. I think there might be some different options. Why don't we see what he's got, right? I want to skip quite a bit of this. I may bring it back later. But I wanted to share Paul's story, because I also have a really cool map, and you guys know that I love all that stuff. And the way that he said it to me is he said, you know, in this process of what we've explained for a few minutes here is, I want you to seek out and to walk in and be prepared for. So I'm prepping in advance, right? That process of, okay, I don't know what the Lord's going to lead me to do. I don't know where he's going to take me to go. But whatever I do, I want to be studying in the Word. I want to be following the Holy Spirit so that when he says go, I'm ready, right? I'm preparing for that. He says prepare for the divine delays and detours. And I said, okay, what do you mean? So he immediately took me to Paul's vision of the Macedonian man. And in Acts chapter 16, Eli, I think we have Acts 16, starting in verse 6. The word of God says that Paul and his companions traveled throughout the region of Phrygia and Galatia, having been kept by the Holy Spirit from preaching the word in the province of Asia. Wait a second, what did that say? Having been kept by the Holy Spirit from preaching means they didn't get to. And who were they stopped by? The Holy Spirit. Wait a second. I thought we're doing what you said we ought to be doing, right? Imagine that. But they were kept by the Holy Spirit from preaching the word in the province of Asia. Verse 7, when they came to the border of Mysia, they tried to enter Bithynia, but the Spirit of Jesus would not allow them to. So they passed by Mysia, and they went down to Troas. Then during the night, in verse 9, Paul had a vision of a man of Macedonia standing and begging him, "Come over to Macedonia and help us." After Paul had seen the vision, we got ready at once to leave for Macedonia. Say at once. I love that. Concluding that God had called us to preach the gospel to them. Now, rational minds or our logic process might say, well, he got a vision from God. He knew what to do, and everything was going to be perfect. 2 Corinthians 7:5 says, "For when we came into Macedonia, we had no rest, but we were harassed at every turn. Conflicts on the outside, fears within." Does that sound like everything was perfect? Did it stop him from obeying the voice of the Lord? I want to show you this map. Eli, will you pull up this map? Yeah, so check this out. So Jerusalem is down here. This is where most of them started off. And the different colors are the different missionary journeys that he went on. But I need you to see. So we've got, do I have it? Yeah, so Galatia area, Bithynia area. You've got a lot of the churches that we've read about over the past few months. Lystra, Derbe, Pamphylia, all these places. So he's in that region, and he wanted to go this way. He wanted to go east. He wanted to go into, you know, Lower Asia area. But he kept going down a road, and Holy Spirit didn't let it happen. He said no. And instead, where he wanted him to go was this yellow one right up there, Macedonia. That's where he wanted him to go. So do you see, it's going to take a little bit. They didn't have cars, trains, and automobiles, and airplanes, and all that stuff. It's going to take a little bit to get there. In fact, many of us might say, man, I'd rather go this way. That way is harder, right? But he said, no, I'm not going to let you go this way. I'm going to stop you because I want you to go there. And listen to what happened. You can leave this up for just a second. Listen to what happened in Macedonia. These are just some highlights. He met a lady named Lydia, and she was converted in Acts 16, 14, and 15. There was the deliverance of a fortune-telling slave girl in Acts 16, 16 through 18. Paul and Silas, and you may say, oh, this one wasn't that great, but Paul and Silas were imprisoned in Philippi in 16 through 28. And if you remember, when they were imprisoned in Philippi, weren't there a bunch of people that got saved the next day? The jailer and his entire household, right? Then you have, okay, verse 29 to 34 was the conversion of the jailer and his household. And then in Acts chapter 17, 16 through 34, Paul was preaching in the Areopagus in Athens, goodness. And he makes the statement to the unknown God. Let me tell you who that is, right? And these whole groups of people get something that they otherwise might not have received had Paul gone the other way. And these are just a couple of them. That was just in 16 and 17, right? I believe that there's something to this, and I want to tie it up today as we get ready to wind down. Kaya, you'll just do some instrumental here in a minute, but I was thinking about Acts 2, chapter 2, 1 through 4. We've been in Pentecost month. And I'm thinking about these delays and detours and all the, you know, movement that we do. And it says in Acts chapter 2, starting in verse 1, "When the day of Pentecost came, they were all together in one place. When suddenly," come on, "a sound like the blowing of a violent wind came from heaven and filled the whole house where they were sitting." This one gets me. I was reading a study on this one, but check this out. Verse 3, "They saw what seemed to be tongues of fire that separated and came to rest on each of them. They're getting spiritual discernment, and I don't know that any of them had done that yet before. The only time I can recollect that happening is when Jesus was baptized in Holy Spirit, and it said that John the Baptist saw what seemed to be like a dove coming to rest. I believe those were spiritual visions, not natural vision. So what these guys are all seeing in the spiritual is what seemed to be like a tongue of fire. Whatever that looks like, y'all illustrate that for us and let us know. What it looks like, a tongue of fire that was separated and then came to rest on each of them. They're seeing this in the spirit. I think that's cool. And then verse 4, and all of them, say it with me, all of them were filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak in other tongues as what? As the Spirit enabled them. Did it say the Spirit did it for them? Some of us have looked at that all these years and like, all right, wiggle this tongue when you want it to wiggle. You know, just do it, right? And he's saying, I've given you the ability to do that. You do it. Right? And as I was thinking about this, this is so hard to capture. I've got so much, but I'm just going to condense it here. I think the wildest part about much of this story is leading up to this moment, they were told everybody's least favorite four-letter word that starts with a W. Wait. Ah, I don't want to do that. Waiting's no fun. Jesus, you said to go preach and tell everybody about you and heal the sick and raise the dead. Did you notice that he said that before this happened? So those things were already possible in him. Go with me. But he still told them to wait because you're going to receive power from on high. So if you're ever wondering how those churches do what they do and they're not charismatic or Pentecostal, that's how. Because of Jesus. But he's saying, man, I've got something so much better for you. Would you just wait on me? And oh yeah, by the way, while you're waiting on me, how about we spend it in prayer? How about we spend it in unity? Right? Instead of, oh man, I'm so hungry. Who's cooking today, right? No, wait. Wait. One of the things that he said to me is that we live such busy lives and they're often at a pace that doesn't allow for us to wait on Holy Spirit. Like it's baked in our schedule. It's like, oh, I don't have any seconds for that. Like, no, we're just going. And then so we end up striving and struggling and building these things in our own strength according to our own blueprints and plans. And I encourage you that I think one of the greatest lessons that we can learn here from the Acts chapter 2 church is that we must give space for the Holy Spirit to get in the middle of all of it. Our hearts, our logic, our human mind says, I want to do something. I want to do something, anything. Set me loose. And God says, wait. I like this. This is one of those little cheesy things that pastors do, but he said, when we wait, we receive strength to bear the weight. Thought that was pretty good. The other thing that he said to me in this time pointed at the Acts 2 church, and you need to hear what he's saying. There's a depth to it, and I encourage you, this is one of those things that you want to wrestle with. But it's kind of like a rhetorical question. I'm stating it to you, but it was one of those things that he and I were kind of chewing on a little bit. But he says, when my people don't war in prayer, when my people do not war in prayer, it's like giving your weapons straight into the hands of the enemy. You're disarming yourself and you're saying, here, right? Some of us will say, oh, Lord, bless me. Oh, help me to sleep good. Help me have a good day tomorrow. Help work not to be, you know, what it is, you know. But we don't persist in, Lord, would you bless so-and-so? They're having a hard time right now. Lord, would you stop all of the lies and the junk that is going on? Lord, we need an atmosphere shift, and I want it to start with me. Lord, show me how I ought to pray to shift things. Show me how I ought to pray that, hey, you know, we have this great victory, Roe versus Wade overturned. But there's a whole lot that needs to happen to make things right because it's still broken. There's a lot of mess. There's a lot of pain. I want to minister to that. Would you show me how to do that? Here's a plug for you. You want something to start worrying in prayer for? Lord, for all the babies that need to be adopted, fix that adoption cost. That's ridiculous. We got people that want to adopt kids left and right but can't. Let's make a way to do that. That's just one. I got more for you if you want them. Hit me up later. I want to share this last story because I believe there was another man whose destiny was changed, and we're going to close on this. There was a man who was born lame from his mother's womb. He was carried to the temple, and he laid daily at the gate to beg for money. The story is found in Acts chapter 3, verses 1 through 26. We're not going to read all of it today. This lame man had legs, which came at birth, but those legs didn't work. He couldn't walk. He lived his whole life crawling or being carried. When we became believers, when we were born again, God gave us the Holy Spirit as a gift. His word says so. It's like having legs. But walking in the Holy Spirit doesn't come automatically with our spiritual birth. Just as with physical birth, we are not born walking right off the bat. We had to learn to walk. Some of us took longer to walk than others. Amen? The first few times it was hard. We fell. We cried. We relied on adults who were good at walking to train us and to be patient with us. Today, walking comes naturally. All the Christians that have the Holy Spirit, all the Christians have the Holy Spirit, but the Holy Spirit doesn't have all the Christians. All the believers receive the Holy Spirit at salvation, but the filling of the Holy Spirit comes into the believer only at the time of surrender and awaiting. I would say even one marked by enjoying his presence. You think all those people up in that upper room were having a bad time or a good time, right? So the lame person had legs, but his legs didn't carry him. It speaks of a believer who has the Spirit, but he doesn't allow the Holy Spirit to do anything in his life. His life is summarized by his ability to operate in the natural. There is very little supernatural in his life. All his work is a result of hard effort. He doesn't deny the Spirit, but he lives without relying on him. Results are minimal. Life is hard, and many times it's exhausting. We as believers weren't meant to carry the weight of life nor its heavy responsibilities alone. The Spirit is given to help us with prayer, with life, and with ministry. He is able to take the burden off of the load. If we don't walk in the Spirit, we then are walking in the flesh. We will toil in the flesh. We will run and we will grow tired. We will walk and we will grow weary. We will become sour and exhausted. Get a picture in your mind of when you've been sour. Yep, that's what people are dealing with. We don't want that, right? If we don't learn how to walk in the Holy Spirit, life becomes a heavy yoke and ministry becomes a difficult burden. Man, all I could think about is my friends who are ministers and they're throwing in the towel, walking in our own strength. I mean, it's a daily thing, right? But this lame man was sitting instead of leaping and begging instead of praising. In fact, what he asked for was for money. But what he needed was to walk. He asked for something that was temporary, and God had something better for him, right? Peter and John did not give him money, but they lifted him up through the power of God, and he began to walk. But even when he started to walk, his financial situation was still the same. In fact, his outside circumstances didn't change, yet he started to rejoice, praise God, and enter the temple. This miracle led many to faith in Christ. So listen to what this story says. I appreciate this. Maybe you are sitting at the gate of the temple right now, spiritually or figuratively speaking, really seeking the power of God. I'd like you to switch your focus from the power of God to the presence of Holy Spirit, the fact that you already have him. Now you just need to get up and walk in the Spirit, the walk that will change your life and your ministry. Just as John and Peter lent a hand to a lame person, today as we're reading this, God wants to use this word to lend you a hand to help you walk in the Spirit as well. After you're there and you're waiting, like, right? He's waiting to receive something. He didn't get what he thought he was, but his mind and his heart were in a state of receiving. Are you in the state of, okay, God, whatever you have, I receive it? Peter and John didn't give the lame man legs. They just activated something that he already had in him. Chris cannot give you Holy Spirit. Jesus gives the Holy Spirit. But God wants to use the next few days and months and years to begin to quicken a relationship, to awaken your appetite for more of him, to deepen your hunger for the Holy Spirit. You might think that what we need is something in the natural, but I believe that what he wants each and every one of us to have is something that he's already been doing, that he's already deposited, that he's already sealed us with. He wants to awaken that to life. And so, as I was thinking about that, I was thinking about many of us, I'm just thinking out loud here, many of us have a physical need. We don't usually talk about it. Some will even say, well, you know, it comes with age, or well, it comes with the hard living, or well, it comes with this or that, or, you know, I was not very smart yesterday, and I just cracked my toe on, you know, the side of the sofa. I deserve it. We say this stuff like that. Come on, you know that we do. Or if I was better with money, I wouldn't be in the mess that I'm in. You're not wrong. But do you think God wants to leave you there? Right? Well, I missed it. I could have went to college, but now I'm behind. And you know, if I did this, I'd have to do all these things to get there. Is that what's in your heart? Or is it buying a house, buying a car, moving to another state? What is it for you today? Do you believe that he's good? Do you believe that he's heard you? Man, some of y'all, I mean, I get this way too, and you know, it's kind of a little bit of a game that I play with the Lord, so to speak, but I think of the persistent widow. I'm like, Lord, do I need to be the persistent widow right now? I'll keep asking. It's okay, I will. He said, no, come on. I have to do that, you know. I know. You don't have to be the persistent widow because he sees you and loves you and cares for you. So I encourage you. I know that we gave some words this morning. I know what time it is. But if there's something that you've been persisting for, I'd like Paul and Sally and Sam and Alan and Susan and Amber and John come up. And we want to pray with you. I asked all of them to come up so you don't feel like it will take too long. You're not going to be waiting for someone to pray. But if you want us to pray with you and to agree with you on whatever it is that's going on, would you come do that now? Would you just take a few minutes and just say, God, I'm in that place of surrender. I'm like this man at the beautiful gate that you saw, and you put him on that alternate path from that day forward. Lives were changed. Do that right now in my life. So we're going to have some music going, and we're going to have these guys up here at front to pray with you. And if you're that person, come on up. Let's get it done today.